Exodus chapter 20. If you don't, I will have the scriptures up on the screen. Today we're back to these big commandments, these top 10 that God give us. If I was to attempt to title this message any better than God already has, which I can't, but I would just simplify it this morning and say, our rest is in Jesus. Our rest in Jesus. How many are tired today? How many are just worn out? Wore out. Almost everybody I know is worn out. They're tired. I probably overstate that a little bit, but you know what I mean. People say, I'm tired. Well, this morning, the fourth commandment is speaking to us about our rest. Our Creator, who knows us best, knows that one out of 7 days needs to be set aside for rest. And He thought it critical enough to give us a command about it. In Exodus chapter 20, let me read a few verses, verses 8 to 11 this morning. Out of the New International Version, it reads this way, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or your female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Heavenly Father, again, we are in honor of Your word. We respect it so highly. Highly enough that we read it again and again. And Lord, we ask that Your Holy Spirit would reveal to us today Your heart regarding this command. In Jesus' name we ask for Your help and understanding today. Amen. A few of you may have grown up in homes where your parents were very strict about what you could and could not do on Sunday. Anybody grow up in a home like that? I did. Just a few of us. Naaman, why are you 90? How old are you now? 94 next month. My goodness. We have a 14-year-old today up here. You're only 80 years. That's all you have on her. Just 80 years. That's a lot of years. I must have grown up in the same kind of home you did. Kind of strict, you know. Can't do this and shouldn't do this. It's amazing. Several years ago, the only activities that were allowed on Sunday afternoons for Christians were sleep and maybe you could read. It was okay if you read your Bible. But you couldn't play ball, you couldn't watch TV, you couldn't do much of anything. The fact is, there really wasn't a whole lot to do on Sunday because there wasn't much available to do on Sunday. Everything in town was shut down. But things have changed over the years. I remember when I was growing up, it was unusual for a store to be open on Sunday. And now it's unusual if a business is closed on Sunday. There's one that should be open and it's not, and that's Chick-fil-A. I'm joking. Actually, I admire the decision of its owner. In fact, this past summer we were traveling on a Sunday, and our family saw a Chick-fil-A sign. We were talking about where did we want to eat. We were down south and we decided to go to Chick-fil-A. Not remembering it was a Sunday, we drove all the way there, parked our car, got out of the car, walked up to the door, and was sorely disappointed. Hobby Lobby, it's another store that has closed on Sunday. Here is their statement from their website, from their frequently asked questions of why they are closed on Sunday, and here's what they state. We have chosen to close on the day most widely recognized as a day of rest, in order to allow our employees and customers more time for worship and family. This has not been an easy decision for Hobby Lobby because we realize that this decision may cost us financially. Yet we also recognize or realize that there are things more important than profits. This is a matter of principle for our company owner and officers. I truly think this is admirable in our day and age. When everyone else is after the almighty dollar, there are some that are still going after the almighty God. For many, though, Sunday has just become another day of the week. How many remember blue laws in our country? Did you know there's still Michigan blue laws in effect? A blue law is what you couldn't do on Sunday. And these laws were written, they were considered blue law because I read somewhere that originally they were written on blue paper. That's why they were a blue law. And therefore, though, they wrote these, so there was some controls on Sunday because it was considered a holy day. Did you know we still have blue laws in effect in Michigan? Here's one of them. Vehicle sales are banned on Sunday in counties having a population of 130,000 or more. That's why you can't go buy a car on Sunday. Isn't that interesting? It's one of the laws that's out there. That's why they're not open. There's other laws regarding alcohol and things of that nature. But it's amazing how many changes have happened over the last 50 years regarding the blue laws. Along with those changes, there's also been a generation of Christians who have changed right along with culture. Why? Because I believe it's hard to hold on to what seems to be old-fashioned when new fashion comes on the scene, because all of a sudden you feel old-fashioned. That's what happens. We change. But I want to suggest something to you this morning. This commandment that we come to is not just about coming to church on Sunday. It has much greater implications than that. And before we go any further with it, let me make a few statements. My purpose this morning is not to make up a list of what you can or can't do or what should be allowed or what is not allowed on a Sunday. I mean, should you go out and eat on Sunday? That way you don't have to work and fix a meal, but you're forcing other employees to do so. Should you go shopping at the mall on Sunday? If I asked if all the ladies agreed, they would probably say amen. The men would definitely say no. Should you wash your car on Sunday? I mean, should a Christian work on Sunday? By the way, I'm a Christian. And I kind of work on Sunday. It's not about what you should or shouldn't do on a Sunday. I'm not here to answer those kinds of questions. What I want to do is help us see some principles that are related to this command that govern our everyday life. Not just the Sundays, but how we live our lives. You need to take what is taught this morning and apply it to your life, but I want you to do so with prayer, and I want you to do it as you seek God's will for your life. In Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us, seek first what? The kingdom of God, or God's kingdom, and what God wants, because all the other things will be added to you, or they'll be met as well. And I trust that that's what you're doing, that you're seeking God's kingdom. In fact, as we go through all of the Ten Commandments, make sure you seek God's kingdom first. You need to remember that God's word is never outdated. It's valid for us. And we have to take his word to heart as followers of Jesus Christ. So, the fourth commandment, what is it? What is the Sabbath? First of all, I probably should remind you today that Sunday is not historically or even biblically the Sabbath. The biblical Sabbath actually occurs on Saturday. But the majority of Christians long ago adopted the idea of worshiping on the first day of the week. And they did so for several reasons. One of them is that our Lord's resurrection occurred on the first day of the week, and the early church met that way. In fact, in Acts 20, verse 7, you can read, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Now, the name Sabbath is derived from the Hebrew word sabbath, meaning to cease, desist, or rest. So from this, I believe it's a good place to start that, first of all, the Sabbath is a day for rest. Let me ask you this morning, here's a few questions. Are you observing a day of rest? And which day is it? Basically, this is what I'm asking. What day is unlike all the other six for you? And you're saying, Pastor, we're here this morning. This is different. Well, would you like to meet tomorrow morning? How many like to come on Mondays? No? You like Sunday? Then we'll meet next Sunday. All right. That's settled. Although God gave us, though, the ability to work, and we're supposed to work 6 days, that ability is intended for our good. But people have a tendency to use our labor or our work as a source of our value. We think how much we do is how valuable we are. But that is a distorted way of thinking according to the Word of God. Many find their value in what I can produce or how much money I can make. But it's a wrong value system. That system leads people to become workaholics. Amazingly, though, America applauds workaholics. Look how much you do. Keep at it. And they consider people successful if they have a full calendar. But let me ask this. Have you ever heard anyone brag about how much free time they have? It doesn't go that way. Because people don't see value in that, but God does. There are several studies that reveal certain things, and one of them was done with kids ages 3 to 12. Kids that they're saying are being infected with a destructive way of life at an early age, that they are working too much. Our kids, I say, are overscheduled and overworked. The researchers at the University of Michigan's Institute for Social Research compiled the time diaries of more than 3,500 kids below age 12. On average, kids between the ages of 3 and 12 spent 29 hours in a week of school, which is 8 more hours a week than it was in 1981. They also did more household chores. I don't know that I agree with that one, but that's what they said. They accompanied their parents on more errands, participated in more organized activities like soccer and ballet and etc. than ever before. All in all, children's leisure time, defined as leftover time after sleeping, eating, personal hygiene, and attending school or daycare, their leisure time dropped from 40% in 1981 to 25% in 1997. And now we're in 2012, approaching 2013 rapidly, and things are only getting busier. And I believe that's why God gave us a Sabbath for a specific purpose. Our minds and our bodies need a time out. God knew our tendency that would be to overwork ourselves. So God gave us a reminder. Here's what he said. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. It's interesting. This is not a do not command. We've got several do not commands that are coming. But this is a remember command. This is a do instead of a do not. Do remember this commandment. Take a Sabbath rest for your body and your mind. Make a day holy unto the Lord. Yes, for him, but yes, for you. I believe the Sabbath day is for rest. Number two, I believe the Sabbath day is for reflection. God wants us to enjoy and appreciate His creation. The fourth commandment actually has an explanation note about the Sabbath. Here's what He said in verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day He rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. God ceased from His creative activity on the first seventh day. He didn't really need the rest in the way we understand it, because God doesn't need to rest. He isn't a physical being like us. But God rested, or what He did, it was a cessation, a step back to look at the completion of His work. Why did He rest? God rested because He wanted to take pleasure in what He had made. God had no regrets, no need to go on creating something bigger or better. He didn't need to make a creature more wonderful than the man or the woman that He made. In God's day of rest, His free time was used to express His love to His creation, and especially toward humanity. Everything that God gave us is for our appreciation and our enjoyment. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. And I know all of you would say amen to that. But it says their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. God has given us everything we need for our enjoyment. It still amazes me that you look at the sunrise, the sunset. We look at Grand Canyon. We look at Niagara Falls. We look at all these wonders that He's made, and we stand bewildered by it because it's amazing. But we should not only reflect on, or God has given us things, but we need to stop along the way and smell the roses every once in a while, church. There's a valid reason for reflection in our life. We don't have to just reflect on what God made, but we need to take time and reflect on what He has spiritually done in us. That's why I believe Sundays are important. I think it's a great day for spiritual reflection. On Sundays, we should think about what God wants to do in my personal life, as well as what He wants to do in my family. We need reflection time because we need time to reset our focus. It's amazing how much can distract us during the week. 6 days can take a toll on your life. And God tells us, remember to keep a day holy. Holy unto the Lord. Reflect on His holiness. Reflect on the work of His hand and the work in our lives. You need to reflect on your life. You need to reflect on the people you love. Reflect on your priorities. Take advantage of that holy day to reflect where you're heading with your life. And if you don't like the direction, use the day to reflect on what changes you need to make to change your direction. And you need to reflect on God, who is holy within you. As to activities on Sunday, what should we do? I don't believe we should do nothing on the Sunday or the Sabbath. But I know there are people who have a problem with recreation on Sunday. And I believe they're partly right. If our recreation, and I wrote this up for you this morning, if our recreation causes stress rather than rest, we should not do it. Because that was not what God intended it for. Look at what Jesus said to the people who were legalistic about the Sabbath and about this commandment. In Mark 2:27, He said, that Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Listen, I encourage you to participate in activities that involve your family and others whom you love. Find those activities that recreate you, that refresh you, that revive you, so you can be who God wants you to be. My third point simply this morning is the Sabbath is also a day for renewal. There is a high and a holy purpose behind this fourth commandment. Ultimately, I believe God is pointing to a spiritual rest. Unfortunately, there are people who have a tendency to be spiritual workaholics. People who foolishly attempt to be good enough for God, trying to work hard for their salvation. Did you know that all religions in the world, except for Christianity, tell you that your good deeds have to outweigh your bad deeds to get to heaven? Every other religion tells you that, and that is why it tells us that Christ is a stumbling block for the world. Because it's all about grace. It's all about Him being our rest. God didn't plan it the way of works. He planned it the way of His work for us. The Sabbath was a foreshadowing of what God would do for us through Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ did the work of salvation for us. We could never pile up enough good deeds to be good enough for God. And that's why God Himself came in human flesh, lived a perfect life, died a sacrificial death on a cross, but then He rose again 3 days later. He paid the penalty for your sin and your offenses, and then He offered forgiveness for those who would believe in Him and make a right relationship with mankind, and then gives you purpose in life, and then offered you eternal life after death. What does that cost you? Nothing. It's free. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 11:28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Jesus is inviting us to come and enjoy what He earned for us. When we come to God by faith in His Son, we can enter into that rest. The book of Hebrews is a great theological book and a great study, and I know we have a Wednesday night class that is touching on that and working their way through that, but I want to read a portion to you this morning from it. I'll be honest with you, Hebrews can be a bit confusing, and you really have to kind of read all of it to really understand it, so I will give a little bit of explanation as we go. But in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, it says this: "For He has spoken somewhere about the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works." And in the passage again, "They will never enter into my rest." Now, if you find the context of this, He is talking about the Hebrew children that disobeyed Him in the wilderness. And He goes on in verse 6, "Since therefore it remains for some to enter into it, and the ones to whom the good news was proclaimed previously did not enter because of disobedience." In verse 7, again, He ordains a certain day, today. Speaking by David, after so long a time, just as had been said before, "Today, if you hear His voice and do not harden your hearts." In verse 8, "For if Joshua had caused them to rest." Now what He's talking about, you need to remember that Israel was delivered from Egypt. They're in the desert. They cross over because Joshua led them into what they thought was the promised land. And they thought that was going to be their rest. That's where they were entering. But that is not what God was talking about. "For if Joshua had caused them to rest, He," talking about God, "would not have spoken about another day after these things. Consequently, a Sabbath rest remains for the people of God. For the one who has entered into His rest," God's rest, "has also himself," speaking of us, "that we have rested from His works," our works, "just as God did from His own works." Basically, what this is telling us is that what Christ did for us is so that we wouldn't have to work. We could find our rest in Christ. That I don't have to work for salvation. Otherwise, that's why today is the day of salvation. Until He comes again, this message has to be proclaimed. It's not works, lest anybody begins to boast about it. There is no other Sabbath besides Jesus. He alone, you have to understand, he alone satisfies the requirement of the law. See, we want him to cover every other sin. He has to be fulfillment of every command. And Jesus is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He alone provides the only sacrifice that atones for our sin. Jesus is God's plan for us to cease from all the hard labor of trying to be saved. But dare not reject Jesus, for he is the one and the only way of salvation. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What? No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to accept what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. You say, well, what happens if I don't? Let me tell you about those who choose to reject his plan. There's a story in Numbers chapter 15 about the very first person who did not take his Sabbath. A man was found gathering sticks on the Sabbath day, in spite of God's command to cease from all your labor. The man continued to work on the Sabbath. This transgression became known, and it was a willful sin done with boldness in broad daylight, with open defiance against a divine authority. When it was brought to Moses, Moses didn't know what to do with it, so he went to God. And he said, God, what do I do with this? And this is what God answered in Numbers 15:35. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must die. Sounds kind of harsh. Shouldn't that be reserved for murder? Shouldn't that be reserved for the really bad stuff? I mean, it's just a Sabbath day. I mean, didn't Jesus pick corn on the Sabbath? Did Jesus heal on the Sabbath? And this man had to die. He says the whole assembly must stone him outside the camp. Church, I believe this was teaching us and foreshadowing of how it will be for those who reject God's provision of our Sabbath. Those who do not find their rest in Jesus Christ. Church, we have been called to respond to his rest, the only real rest, the only real Sabbath. We can only find it in Jesus. The Sabbath is about rest. It's about, yes, our bodies. Yes, there's a principle there that we need to give our bodies and our minds rest. Yes, we need to reflect. That is so important, to acknowledge what God has done and what he's given and what he's doing in my life and where am I going. But the most important part, I believe, about the Sabbath is the renewal. Otherwise, we feel like we have to work to be saved. If we do not catch the renewal part, that Christ has completed everything needed for salvation. Galatians 2:16 says, know that a person is not justified by the works of the law. The law that I'm going over, you're not going to be justified by doing it, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. Ephesians 2, Paul clarifies to the church there, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We have to let Jesus be our Sabbath. Our rest is found in him. And then you say, well, then I don't really need to do the fourth commandment. I have Jesus. Well, let me reiterate something for you. There is a spiritual law at work in our lives as Christians, that we would obey the Lord. And we need to let the grace work in our lives be above the letter of the law. I agree with that. But I believe that God gave this principle here, this commandment, so we could guard our work life from overtaking our spiritual life. God wants you to have a spiritual life. I believe he gave this principle so that we could take the time we need to focus on our walk with God, so we can listen to his Holy Spirit in our lives. This morning, I really do believe that we need to rest more, church. You can come, Pastor Matt. I believe we're too busy. I think you ought to tell people throughout this week, man, next Sunday I get a rest day. They'd be like, what do you mean? Well, it's a day I take to rest and reflect and celebrate my renewal. Church, I can't do it for you. But don't let work overtake your spiritual life. I'm not going to tell you what you can, can't do. I don't know which day. Personally, for me, my Sabbath, if my rest day had to be the rest part of it, I do on Monday. And church, I know how to sleep in. My kids will tell you. I know how to roll over and close my eyes and rest. I know there's days I have to get up. There are days I do have to do things. There's days I have to come in because of certain time issues. But church, we have got to find time to rest in our schedules. I really liked it when we worked 5 days a week, had Saturday as our rest kind of catch-up day. We really had a holy day. I don't know that we could go back to that. Our culture is just so busy. But if you want your children to have a rest day, you got to do it because they'll follow your example. So you need to rest. Church, you need to reflect. I was with the seventh graders from our school this past week, from Wednesday to Friday, and we took them away on a purity retreat. And for seventh graders, it was more about family and what we do and how we live and how we should present ourselves. But we had a great time together. In fact, I came home and really wasn't wore out. It was great. But we took time to reflect on what God means to our lives. Church, I think you need to do more of that. One of the things I told him, I said, I'll ask you, did the sun come up today? It didn't. The earth turned into the sun. Just like God is always steady, we have to turn to him. He's always there. And so many times we see the sun rising and it never rises. We turn. And God has perfected all of this so that it happens constantly in our lives, just like he wants us to constantly reflect on him. And lastly, renewal. I don't know. I look around the room, and most of you, as I glance across the room, I know you and I've seen you, and I think you've made a decision to accept Christ, but I'm not you. I don't know what you've done in your life. But if I could tell you, quit striving. You know, we sing about the cross, we talk about the cross. The cross is enough. Our sins are forgiven because of the cross. And we can find our rest in Christ. It doesn't mean I don't live for him, I don't obey him, I don't go after him, that I don't, you know, I just do what I want. Because see, when I fall in love with him, now I want to obey him. Now I want to get the principles in my life so I can rest and I can be holy and I can find the holy day. But ultimately, just to be renewed in him. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've not confessed your sins and said, God, forgive me, I would encourage you to do so today. Do not harden your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. While it's still called today, church, our Sabbath is in Jesus. He's really our rest. I think there's practical application, there's most definitely spiritual application. So church, I'm asking you, let Jesus be the Lord of the Sabbath. In fact, that's what he said. I'm the master of the Sabbath. He is the one who oversees it in our life. He's our rest. This morning as I close, I do want to do an altar call for those who haven't believed, who haven't made that confession of faith. I want you to do that today because you need him. I don't want you to end up like the man who didn't accept the Sabbath. I don't want you to end up separated from God. I want you to be found in him. And this morning, for all the rest of you who say, I love God, I've accepted him, I found my renewal in him, could I challenge you though? Make sure you balance your life biblically. You need rest. You need it. And reflect a lot. Because that attention always goes to what God is doing. Amen. Heavenly Father, this morning as we bow our heads, some I feel like could be challenged by this today, but Lord, ultimately, I pray for those who have not accepted this morning, your grace would do so even now. If you've never accepted his grace, and maybe you have, and maybe you've slipped away, and you've allowed the work to take the place of Christ, this is the day to come home today. And I pray again, you will not harden your heart. Is there anyone in this room, and just real quick, you can put your hand up and back down again, but anyone who says, I want to accept Jesus, I want him to be Lord of my life. Is there anyone in the balcony, the main floor? I'm looking around quickly. Anyone? Yes. Yes, ma'am. I see your hand there. God bless you. Is there anyone else? One dear lady in the balcony. Anybody else? Well, I want us all to pray this morning as we rededicate, as we recommit our lives, and this lady prays with us and prays to make that commitment. Could we all pray, Heavenly Father, I accept what Jesus did for me. I ask you, by the grace and mercy that you extended to me, to forgive me of all my sins. I accept your rest. I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you rose again. And I ask you to be Lord of my life. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I celebrate with you. Receive Christ. Believe in him. The Bible tells us that if one, just one is found, all of heaven is having a party. Amen. Party. And we celebrate. The church, application. Only you can apply. You see, the commandments were given and they were released. This one I release to you. It was never about serving the day. It was the day to serve us. God set it up that way. But we have to put it into our schedule. Personally, what I do with my family, somebody may call and say, well, Pastor's busy. On my calendar, many, many times, I schedule my family time. It's part of my life. If you don't schedule, if you don't put it there, things will overtake it. Make it part of your life. Make it part of your schedule. What did you do? Somehow you scheduled to say, let's go to church on Sunday. Let's get up on the first day of the week. You scheduled it, right? Schedule your life. Rest, rest, rest. Go home today. Wouldn't hurt you today. Go home, do nothing. Wouldn't that be great? You say, well, I got so much to do. Then you need to probably think about the days ahead. You see? Because church, I want you to grow. I don't want us to be where we were 4 weeks ago when we started. I want us to love God more. I want us to make sure there's nothing else in front of Him. And I want us to make sure that He gets the proper honor He deserves, a holy day, that we think about Him. And I'm glad you're doing that. I'm preaching to the choir. You're like, we all showed up. What about all those who didn't? Call them. No, don't. Maybe you should. But church, I want to love you. But I want to teach you these principles because you need them. You need them. They'll keep you healthy in Him and keep you healthy in this life. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Lord, as we walk through these, this is a challenging one for me, Lord. I'm still trying to work it through, but Lord, would you help me? Lord, would you help each of us to find where the balance of this physically or naturally or spiritually fits into our lives? And Lord, would you bless your church? Lord, would you be with them this week and give them the strength they need? In Jesus' name, I ask it for your glory. Amen. God bless you, and have a Jesus-filled week as you live for Him.